Thank you for tuning in for this bonus episode of Culpable, as we continue to investigate the case of Danny Violet. I want to start by saying, if you haven't already listened through episode 7 of the series, please stop and do that now, as the audio we're about to get into here is going to contain some spoilers. In this episode, I'll be speaking with someone I've been trying to get a hold of for some time now, who I finally got the chance to speak with just weeks ago.
Hello?
Hey, is this Matt?
Yeah, this is Matt.
Hey, Matt. Dennis Cooper. Nice to meet you. More formal.
Nice to meet you. Hey, right?
How's it going today?
If you're caught up in the series, then you should understand why this conversation with Danny's friend, Matt, is important. So instead of rehashing everything we covered in episodes 6 and 7, I instead want to take just a moment to explain what led to this conversation. I first reached out to Matt in early 2025 for obvious reasons. He was a friend of Danny's, and they were together the night before his disappearance. So I wanted to see what he remembered all these years later. After sending him a message, months would pass with no response. And it was during this time that a series of events, or better yet, a discovery of information, would lead me to take a much closer look at both Matt and his mother, Charlotte, who were questioned by detectives several times throughout the investigation, with the latter being interviewed as recently as 2024. As I took in all this new information, it started to feel even more urgent that I get in touch with at least one of them to try and get some clarity. So months after my original message to Matt, I sent him a follow-up. I waited patiently for another month until finally, he messaged me back. He'd been hearing about the podcast, and after putting two and two together and realizing who I was, he decided to reach out.
Yeah, somebody told me, and I was like, really? And I was like, then I started, my wife was listening, and then she was telling me, because I was like, wow, it's one of those rough situation type things where it just brings back,
for sure.
Yeah, it was scary and everything. It was bad times.
Oh, I'm sure, man. I mean,
the timing of this conversation was not ideal, seeing as we had just finished producing the series. So after speaking with Matt, I decided to release our conversation as a bonus episode on the heels of episodes 6 and 7 to offer a little more context to some of what we discussed in those episodes and give him an opportunity to clear some of the air surrounding it, starting with the events of Friday night. But we're going to touch on just about everything by the end of this conversation, so be sure to stick around until the end. All right, let's get into this.
Do you want me to tell you like how we ended up in that situation in the first place?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
No,
so
no, you're great. I mean, you sent that message, but yeah, I mean, that wasn't really the first thing I wanted to ask you. It's just like, you know, what you could, you know, recall from that.
So it sucks because around that time, you know, people, we were like at living in the age of like, you know, if you're a partier, or you know what I mean? So you're pretty cool, which is the dumbest thing ever. So we were always experimenting with stuff, which was absolutely stupid. So he ended up telling us that his buddy, because he went to Pioneer, not like the regular school, like they went like it's like a trade school or vocational school. He had this buddy, me, him, and Adam Castle in Adam Castle's car. We drive down there, which took forever too. And then we get there, and that guy's an ultimate douchebag. Like he's like trying to pick fights and stuff. Like you know, like I'm the biggest baddest dude on the. It was so like, he was like, I'm a kickboxer, and he'd be punching on this bag and stuff. It was really ridiculous. We get down there, so then he's like, yeah, and we were waiting around, and I don't know. I even told him, I was like, dude, let's just leave. So then he calls his buddy. This buddy comes over that supposedly has it, and he don't have it. We had to go somewhere else to get it. And this is, I know like nowadays people would find this like fucked up, but that was the first time I ever seen a man in makeup, right? Like it's gothic, right. But I was like, you know, I seen on TV and stuff, but it was a cultural surprise to me. So I'm like, what in the world? And so we drive around, we had to sit at this like gas station forever, it seemed. And now I really want to leave. I was like, come on, man. Then they take us to this place called Nevada. I thought it was Nevada, but it was Nevada. That's how they say it there. And it was like this row of houses, like it's like a square type. And then this house way on to the very far right. And we get in there, and this is like a whole party full of like these gothic people. Like they're all, it was really, really creepy. And I remember I say, man, I wish I had a coat because I would sit outside for long periods because I didn't know these people. Plus, I didn't want to know them. And it was just kind of creepy. I was starving and they like bought Domino's and I'm not one of those people that can just take from somebody. You know what I mean? And so I almost had him talked into leaving. I was like, dude. And then these cookie fucking cutter, I swear to God, if you thought of a biker, there was one tall, one short, bald head, both of them. And they came, got Danny. Now I was going to walk upstairs with them because they went up these stairs to do whatever they were doing. When I went up, that fucking guy, he stopped me and he was like, no, you. And I was like, oh my God. So we get to the car, we're driving and I'm like, you know, what'd you get? And he showed me and it's like I've never seen what, you know, I heard of it, never seen it really. It was like a mini sheet of paper, right? It had a big giant cherub on it. It was like all brown, like looking, looked like it came right out of a Masonic temple. Like you took it right off the ceiling. So we get back to my house and I tell him, I'm like, hey, we can't do this at my house. I was like, my dad would fucking kill me. That's why I remember telling him over and over again. And we're all cool about it. And so my dad and mom come home and they're smashed drunk because my dad was a trustee or whatever at the Eagle. So they were always like on the weekends, they were always out there drinking. They get there. I remember I helped my mom to bed. My dad's in there just doing whatever. And he's like, hey, can you run the store? I was like, fine. I ran the store for him. I came back. And as soon as I walked in, both them dudes, they showed me their tongue. They had it on. I'm like, oh my God. I was thinking, so instead of me being the smart guy, I was like, oh, well, fuck it. I'll do it too. And I remember I took it. And I remember at first we were having, you know, we were laughing, like just couldn't stop laughing. And then somebody was like, hey, because I remember I had this chair. It was like a made out of bamboo. And it was like, I don't know. It was like I used it as an office chair because I had a little computer up there. They're like, hey, Danny's sleeping. And I was like, what? And so they try to wake him up. And when they wake up, he like did this like lunge in the sound, right? Like a like that. And I'm telling you what, that was like one of the scariest things ever. Like everything crashed down around me. Like I went from laughing to seeing that. And I tell you what, oh, I didn't think my heart could beat any harder. I remember I tried to get my door and I remember my door was kind of getting a little sideways there for me. So I went to reach for the handle, man. And I tell you what, it was like when I knew that my hand's kind of like a little off, because usually it doesn't do that anyway. You know, everybody said, you know, you'll see streaks and all that stuff. But boy, that whatever that was, it was strong. So I get outside and I'm thinking, oh my Lord, what am I supposed to do? I was like, I got to tell my mom, you know, my mom. I was like, try to wake her up. And she's like, what? And she's like, and I remember she came in, her pants were on backwards, like inside out. And because she's drunk, you know, she's completely drunk. She don't even know what's going on. She's like, oh, you know, and she started yelling at us, telling us to leave and fucking not come back and stuff. I'm like, oh my God. And I remember, so they all went to the judge. I stayed back because I couldn't, I tell you what, I was, my heart was pumping. I was starting to freak out. I didn't know, like, my ultimate, like, fix was a milk and bread for some reason. I was like, that should help. And it didn't. But so I sat there and stewed on that. And I remember when the sun came out, I was like, man, I got to go down there and check on Danny. So I showered and tried to eat some more bread in like 5 minutes. I swear to God, it was the fastest I ever did it. I walked down to Judd's and Danny's there, you know, and he's standing there. But, you know, it's like when lights on, nobody's home. Like he was smiling, but never talked, never said one word. I was like, man, that's crazy. And he just wasn't answering. And I remember making him eggs and made him drink milk at Judd's that morning. I cooked him breakfast that morning. That's when I said, I remember when Chad, because I remember because we kind of laughed about it when I heard Chad say, boy, I was glad I wasn't there, because he was always the goofy one. Yeah. Like, not goofy one, it was just so funny.
Same thing, actually. He remembers that detail. Like, he just couldn't remember who all was there and didn't want to speak out of line. So, which I was like, okay,
yeah,
cool. Get that.
That's me. That same thing. I don't remember who all was there, but I remember it was the core people, like I said. And I remember telling those guys, I said, listen, I'm leaving because my cousin Bunch come pick me up. And I was like, hey, if I don't get back, don't let him leave and I'll bite the bullet. I was like, because we're going to have to take him to the hospital. That was a fact. So I leave, and I remember I went up to my mom worked at the liquor store. So she had to go to work, even though she was on a hangover, right? So she went to work, and it was around, I mean, it was afternoon anyway, so it was like started getting about one or so. And I went up there because I had to get a key from her. So me and Bunch drive back. He had this big old stupid van. And so we're driving around, and I see two people, and I forget who this is. That's what I was trying to remember. And I was like, hey, I was like, what's up? And they were like, Danny's missing. I swear to God, that's what they said already after like not even a couple hours. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, what? And so I go back to Judd. Yeah, he's not there. So I was thinking, all right, he's going to get in trouble if he goes back home. Because, you know, he had a kind of rough one. His dad and shit. And I don't know how they treated his brothers, but they were pretty shitty to him, like really shitty. He wasn't allowed to like watch TV or radio and all that shit. And it was really weird. And so then he came up missing. So we sat around for a little bit. And I remember trying to go to sleep. My dad had a poker game or something that night. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was still kind of freaked out and I'm worried and shit. And I was all worried about us getting in trouble. I was worried about what happened. I was worried about the whole nine yards. And then that's it. That was the last thing I knew. And then what made it bad for me was, so I got in trouble for that whole fucking thing. You know, my mom and dad were like down me. You know what I mean? So I couldn't leave. And so I didn't. And so I quit hanging out with these guys and, you know, for a while. And then they'd call once in a, like once a week or something like that. Cause I mean, nobody had cell phones or social media at that time. So I really kind of like, we kind of started losing contact. Now I know it looks weird then because I quit hanging out with them and we were like always together. And well, Danny was like the reason why I hung out with him mostly anyway, cause he was always at my house. Like always, like he basically stayed at my house. So it didn't make no sense when they said that he ran away. Cause I was thinking when he ran away, he ran to my house. You know what I mean? And so, it was freaky. So I didn't go right back around over there. And then, so, you know, I'm telling what they were saying. And then a couple weeks later, you know, I remember the cops pulling up and I was like, oh my God. So we went down there and I remember, man, that guy was screaming at me before we had an interview type thing. Like, you're going to go to jail and all this. I'm like, for what? And it scared me so fucking bad that, like, I never noticed how bad it affected me until, like, later on. But, yeah, I mean, I could see a cop and I wouldn't have, like, never get in trouble or whatever. And I'd still freak out. And
most kids that age are already kind of scared of cops.
Right?
But, you know.
But, yeah, man.
Was that McLaughlin?
Yes, McLaughlin. And there was another one. I can't think of the name of the other one. But yeah, McLaughlin, he was such a prick. And, you know, he just wouldn't take, like, I remember when they strapped me up for the lie detector test, right? Cause I agreed instantly. I was like, yeah. And, I remember after it was done, he's like, are you surprised you passed or some shit like that? And I'm just like, what the fuck? I mean, they just wanted me to be like the bad guy. And I was like, man. And I remember that was when the first time I ever had a panic attack too, when I went down there. And I remember first walked in, I had to go to the hospital. I felt like my chest was going to cave in, like, because that was another thing too. The guy was like, you see your friends in there, they're crying that you're not. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? I'm sitting here about to have a panic. I'm like, oh my God. And so, yeah, I was like, I don't know. I don't cry, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that's they painted me as like this bad guy. I get it because around that time, you got to remember, like I just found out that I had spinal bifida, so I couldn't play sports anymore. Right. And then the doctor up there in Cleveland Clinic told me that I, you know, I could bend over it and pick up a Pepsi can and go paralyzed. So, I mean, I had that on my mind. And then this Danny thing, a year later, my dad got sick and died. You know what I mean? So I went all down the deep end. And then not to mention Cleveland Clinic gave me, 180 Oxycontin 40s. And so I got strung out real quick. I mean, it was a rough ride after that. And, that was another reason why I never went back around them guys, because I just kind of got, I was so depressed too. And then, you know, and at that time, nobody talked about that shit because we always thought that was, you know, weak, I guess. But it just irks me that they talked all that shit. And I'm thinking, they didn't call me. They didn't come down and check and see how I was doing.
Was it just a stopping of hanging out with them? Or like, did you move or did you just stop hanging out with them?
I just stopped hanging out. Well, my dad got in trouble and wasn't allowed to hang out with him and stuff. And then after that, I kind of, after like a week or two passed by, I just kind of like didn't want to go anywhere. I just yeah, it, like you talk about, like, I was never happy for like forever. I felt so ashamed too, because I never wanted to bring bad attention to my parents. And so there was that, you know, and I was so embarrassed. And I'm one of those people that I just don't like to be embarrassed at all, you know, and I just felt so bad because they quit hanging out, you know, going out to their social nights and all that shit because of me, and, you know, because the rumors are flying and stuff. So they started staying home too, and it was just kind of, it was so depressing. And that was the last funeral I went to too, because I was a pallbearer, and I didn't even go to my dad's. I mean, think about that. I couldn't.
Wow.
So it took a toll on me. Like, I don't know if it was, you know, just that and the culmination of all of it with the cops yelling at me, saying I was doing this and this, and me embarrassing everybody by allowing that shit to happen at my house. And so I just kind of was just mad at myself, I guess. And then Danny thing, and I was just like, oh my God, it was rough. They led me down a bunch of paths I didn't want to be on, you know.
I wanted to ask you, like, back when you were talking about, you know, speaking with authorities and them putting you through the ringer. I mean, obviously you were interviewed multiple times. Looking back on that, do you have any, I guess, like, regrets with that and how you handled that as far as?
Yeah.
I mean, you were, like, not forthcoming in this. And
yes.
I have assumptions as to why that is, but I just wanted to hear it, like, from you directly, like, what?
Yeah, it was. I would beat around the bush because I thought we were going to get in trouble for, like, me and the rest of the guys were going to get in trouble for taking acid. I swear to God, if I had it over, I'd just been like, yeah, because I remember they asked me multiple times, but no. And I was thinking, dude, they fucking know. They know. You know what I mean? I was thinking, what?
Yeah.
But I was just so scared. I was like, and I was afraid that if I said, well, I did, but I didn't, you know, and stuff like that, it just kind of, I tried to bounce around that. Because I was so afraid that I'd get me in trouble or my dad in trouble, because my dad would have poker games and shit. And so I was so I was so worried about that part. And then instead of my own ass, really, but that's really what it was. I thought I didn't want to get us in trouble.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. That's good to hear that from you directly. I mean, none of you all were completely forthcoming in your interviews.
It was growing up in that age where, you know, you apologize and all this stuff and you try to be like, I mean, at least at that time before that happened, we always kind of looked out for one another. You know what I mean?
Were you ever asked about the other drug that was in the system, the Zyrontin?
Yeah, see, that's what we didn't even use those. That's what's weird.
That's
like, those were like
most bizarre things to me in this case. It's like, I mean, it's not even a bad thing. Like, whoever gave it to him or whyever he took it was obviously trying to help, you know, and, you know, the seizure he was having, I'm assuming. But it's like, he was only at yours and Judd's house, and no one admits to having
in
the family seizures or having that drug. And I just can't understand, like, where the hell that came from.
Yeah, that's weird. That was the first I heard it. My wife was telling me, I'm like, what? I was like, we didn't even have any of those. I don't even think we got them filled. If we, you know what I mean? If the doctor's like, hey, go, we never ever would get them. So, it was really odd. I figured, like, one that would be in the system would be like Ambien. Now, he did get those, but yeah, we took those, but that would be like everybody would take those and then go to sleep, I guess. It's like hillbilly ass is what they call it. But yeah, I don't know, man.
One more follow-up on the thing from Friday and Saturday night. The whole thing about, you know, you said you ran up to the store. I just want to make sure I have the story right on that as far as...
Yes.
That was on Friday, right? Like after you all got back from
Italian? Yeah. Yes.
So then you just left Steve and Adam there, ran up. Did your dad go with you, do you remember? Or did you just...
I forget.
Like, were you just getting snacks in the group or like what?
No, it was for my dad. My dad wanted me to go up there. And I forget if he went, because I knew he was drunk. That's why he couldn't really go. But it was a grocery store. It was, now it's Save-A-Lot, but it was, I think it was Missler's at the time. I don't know if it switched over yet. But yeah, it was a grocery store. I remember it was something stupid. It was like bread and, you know what I mean? Something dumb like that. It wasn't nothing cool or snacks or anything.
That's good to know. Do you have like a best guess as to like what time approximately when you went to get food?
I forget what time they closed the store, because I know I was like one of the last people, whatever that was. Yeah. So it was like had to be around 9, 10, something like that. I don't know. But it was dark. Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
And so,
you all went to Gowney pretty late then. Like, it wasn't like,
yeah, well, no, it was right after school. We had to sit there and wait. That's why I was saying they waited there forever. Oh my God. Cause I remember Judd was out back already waiting for us. And I forget if anybody, cause yeah, people, they'd come to our, we'd go to each other's house and be there all day without them there. You know what I mean? Like my buddies could have come over and they could, I couldn't have been there all day and they could have come over. You know what I mean? So that's the way it was. My garage was all decked out. So it was like one of the cool hangouts for everybody. They would come over and everybody would just hang out and shit. And we had one of the cooler houses and, you know, me and Judd, because our parents would allow us to drink, but I mean, they didn't allow anybody else to drink. They allowed me to drink and, you know what I mean?
Right.
But that we had one of the cooler spots. So that's, boy, oh boy, I wish I didn't ever come back to that house that night.
Yeah, I'm sure, man. Okay, so just to clarify, so you got back sometime before 9. It was getting late. So when did your parents get home? You said they were at the Eagles that night?
Yeah, they would go to the bar like, well, hell, I think every night, I don't know. I remember them coming home early because usually they didn't come in until like midnight, 1 o'clock. And so I remember it was early, but my mom was completely hammered. Like she couldn't walk up the stairs and their bedroom was, you'd go through the kitchen and then they'd have these like little set of 3 stairs and then into the back room. That was where their bedroom was. And I had to help her down those 3 stairs to get her into bed. And I remember my dad was staggering around, you know, and that's when he asked me to go to the store. And so I was like, okay, had me before 10.
Okay. That's helpful to know. Another thing that just popped in my head was, what all do you remember from the whole thing about Danny getting his shoes the next morning? Were you there for that, or do you remember that? Before he went home, I guess, walked to your house to get his shoes because they were left over there, kind of in the chaos of the night before. At least it seems like that's what you know your dad reported at the time.
Yeah, see,
that they had an interaction, but
I don't remember that at all, but. Yeah, I wasn't there if that would happen. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no worries. I just didn't know. And then the other thing is, I guess, like, this wasn't him returning for that, but did he leave his medication over there?
Yeah, he stayed at the house. Like, he literally, like, stayed at my house, basically, all the time. Like, he was there a lot of, like, most every day. So, it was like, that's why it was weird when his parents said he ran away. I was thinking, dude, he always comes to my house. You know what I mean? That was another red flag. Well, why is his medicine? I'm thinking it's his lithium and he won't take it. Like we try to force him to be like, hey man, you need to take this stuff. Yeah. It was sitting in the windowsill. I still remember.
Really a red flag for me. I mean, again, obviously he was over there a lot, but also like he was there the night before and a bunch of chaos ensued and somewhere else. Like, I mean, it makes sense that his shoes and or medication and or who knows what else could have been left there.
Right. So. And then what was really weird was, all right, so my wife said that, like, when they found him, he had semen on him. I was like, what the? Or they listed him as bisexual. I was thinking, dude, no, I mean, if he was the most deepest closeted person ever because we never, I was thinking, dude, dude was not like that. Like, he was a dude. Like, I don't know. It was so weird when that surprised the shit out of me to them.
Me too. And I mean, I obviously didn't know Danny like you, but I felt like I had gathered a decent understanding when I came across that. And I was just as dumbfounded. And then I had to go back and like, obviously ask people about it, which is a really uncomfortable thing.
Right.
His parents, you know, and it's just like,
oh,
I got
Lord.
Something there. I mean, I don't know where that is. Came from, unless it was literally just all stemmed from the fact that there was semen that found in his rectal swab.
Yeah, that is scary. Like, I could not believe that.
If you wouldn't mind, can we talk about like some of the rumors or accusations, I guess you can say, that have been made?
Sure, that's good.
Some informants, you know, were arrested, and that's like where the rumors came up. And essentially those rumors were, you know, that he, at some point, I guess, returned to y'all's house Saturday night, died. They didn't say anybody killed him. Their words, I guess, were that he died there. And that basically someone
was it the carpet one
the field. Yeah, that was one.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, and the funny part is like, they're really like heavily redacted in the files. So I mean, it's kind of like you almost have to like kind of read between the lines. Well, but
I can
come up
right.
And interview with your mom later. Like we're
yeah,
that good. Her about, which is how I was able to determine. Okay, see what they're talking about in these files here.
Yeah, because my mom and we know who the person is, but we're like not friends with them. And my mom, it was like her name was, and dude, she was always in trouble and shit. And my mom's like, why would I fucking tell her? I was like, oh my God. But yeah, that's where that comes from. That's why I try to tell you. All the rumors came from these like felon drug addicts. I was saying, dude, these guys, I think, why would anybody tell any of those guys anything? They would tell on each other to stop themselves from being sick for 3 days. They would tell on their whole family. It's like, why would anybody tell them anything like that?
I mean, they just actually talked to your mom not that long ago. I don't even know if you know that.
Yeah, yeah. She told me. Two detectives talked to her.
I mean,
but
I
she,
guess,
you
like,
know, she hasn't
weird,
been right ever.
It's a closed case, but I guess they're still working on it in some capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they should until they figure out whatever happened. Yeah, my mom, she caught COVID real bad in like 2020, like right when it was coming out. You know what I mean? They had her on the ventilator for like a month and a half. It was crazy, but she hasn't been the same since then because, you know, man, they put her through a ringer, broke her tooth out. And the only reason that saved her was they let us come up to say our last goodbyes finally because we kept, you know, putting it off. And when we got up there, because they kept telling us that she had no brain activity, and we got up there and I'm like, dude, her leg moved. And me and my brother made this nurse guy go over and watch. We're like, oh, you see that? And he's like, yeah. And that's how it saved her. I swear to God, that was the craziest shit. But yeah, her brain activity was down to nothing. It was crazy. But yeah, this is so like, she told me what happened. But like I said, you can tell like she's not all there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. I could tell from that. And that was a year ago. You know, hopefully she's doing okay now. But
yeah,
you know, you can tell then that she's was kind of down bad. And obviously, you know, getting up there in age as well. So I don't necessarily like that this has to follow her all the way either. And in some ways, I'd say a lot of the rumors, allegations really pertain more so to your mom than you. You weren't named in that stuff as far as I know, unless I'm misunderstanding or whatnot.
No, that you're probably true because my brother, he's not the nice guy either. He's kind of like my uncle. So a lot of people don't like him either. And then my mom, I don't know why my mom though, but I kind of figured that, you know, if anything, they were going to always bring them two into it. And that's what always irked me. There was another person, I ain't going to say his name, but he's related. He was one to try to say my dad did something. And, you know, that was after my dad passed. And my dad treated him so good, too. And it was just, oh, man, that was so heartbreaking. Like I said, these people thought that telling on us or something would get them some kind of leniency or something. I was thinking, that's the worst thing you can do. You know what I mean? You're going to make dude... You know, you'll make Rick all mad and shit, and then he's really going to get you. You know what I mean? So I was thinking, the guy don't even like us. He don't want his name put in the paper or said, and these guys are going there and making up bullshit. And I was like, oh, my God. And they did that on everything. Like, not just that. Like, everything. They've always done it.
Yeah. So I guess, like, actually, that's kind of helpful to know because that was something I was trying to get more clarity around, too. Because, like, I mean, obviously, I see the connection with, you know, your uncle and can totally understand why these people who are about to get in trouble with something else and maybe have something against would say these things. I guess Rick and McLaughlin were both working a drug task force that started.
Yeah, metric unit.
That's why
everybody got mad.
Came up. But they are documented. I mean, like authorities, including your own uncle, interestingly, like took them seriously. I mean, they're right there in the reports and there is follow up. And that's obviously been a really kind of weird connection there, I guess, like with Rick working on the case. Like, how do you feel about that? I mean,
that's like a conflict of interest.
I don't think it necessarily means he did anything wrong.
I don't know.
He should not have been working on the case.
Yeah, he's not a popular guy. Let's just put it that way. And so a lot of people had it out for him. Like, there was rumors one time that me and my dad and him and his son, we were in front of this big giant thing of cocaine with our fingers up pointed at number one or something. I was like, why? I'd never even seen cocaine until I was like 23. Holy shit. You know, around here, it was just pills, you know, and that was it. But yeah, I was like, I mean, that's just one of the rumors. Like, they'll be like, the rumors, they'll say, like, he stopped me and he made me give him my drugs. I'm thinking, really? Well, then why do you have to go to court for this? Like, jeez, Pete.
So that's like, what I, like you said, you have like a pretty strange relationship with, I guess you could say.
Yeah. We talked maybe once in Blue Moon. I think the last time I talked to him again was my grandma's funeral. My grandma died because she lived next door to me and he came over and that was when I saw him. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Now, did that happen since all this or like, were you already like kind of,
that's been
back in 98
when this happened? Yeah. Back in 98. Yeah. He started, that's when he, you know, the rumors started talking about, you know, hey, they do pills and stuff. So he never would be caught around us. He didn't want his name thrown through the mud, like associated with his family. And that's really what it came down to. And he didn't want his
more
name.
More like a shame type of thing?
Yes. That was more like him protecting himself. I remember one conversations we had. And I remember like this right after my dad died. And we didn't have like, it was rough because I didn't know how to survive. And neither did my mom. So she asked him for help or something. I forget what it was. And he's like, it's not if we catch you, it's when we catch you. I'll make sure they'll throw the book at you. That was the last thing I talked to him in a long, long time till my grandma passed. My mom and him had a bad upbringing, you know? And so when he became somebody, he always wanted to protect that name. And I get it now as I got older, but for a long time, I was just like, man. And so he didn't want his name brought back up to being like what it was when he was a kid.
Yeah. Just kind of dissociated to say those.
Right.
Then there's just like a weird layer to it because he also, for whatever reason, kind of inserted himself into things. And then naturally a tip comes from that that concerns you all. And it, one big clusterfuck, I guess.
Right. He should have never been able to get on there in the first place, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because he's never talked to us about that at all. Like never even brought up. I never got interviewed, obviously, because you can't do that. That really tell you. And he never mentioned, like, because, you know, I always talk to my other cousins, like his son and his daughter, but more of his son, but he never mentioned anything, like his dad saying anything about it or anything.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Again, I'm not necessarily pointing fingers at anybody. I don't necessarily think he did anything wrong or sabotaged anything, but he shouldn't have been working on the case in any way. And it just kind of hurt your all's case.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't even know he was allowed to be honest. That's as much as I know. They didn't even, after that last interview, they didn't say anything. There was nothing. It was silence forever. Like, I remember there was a girl, she's trying to help with the Danny situation, and she got a hold of me. She's married to a friend of mine when I was in school, Eric Allen. Super nice. Eric was great. She was like, oh, yeah, he was murdered. And I'm like, no. And she's like, it was even in the paper. I had to go back to see that because I forgot all about them putting it in the paper. Because I always assumed that he went out there and froze to death. Like, you know, maybe went in one of those convulsion things or whatever, or seizure, whatever the fuck those were. And that was my assumption. But his brother got a hold of me finally. And I told him, you know, what happened that night. He didn't know anything about it, which was odd.
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, he really knew nothing. That was kind of his first. I mean, that was right around the time that I met Drew, I think, and like he was just starting to like reach out to a few people and pick up on some things, but then at the same time you're 25 degrees removed and you're getting conflicting information that just very quickly turns into a big ball of confusion. Honestly, so I mean, that's kind of been the nature here.
And I felt bad because he'd call me and stuff and they'd ask me to go to places. I'm so like antisocial, I swear to God, and I didn't know how to explain it to him, and that don't help my case either. But he'd call and he's like, ain't you coming down? I was thinking, no, I don't. It just doesn't affect me, but it still affects me. You know what I mean? Like, I could just feel my heart pacing and just even talking about this stuff. But I felt bad. That's the last time his brother got a hold of me because he wanted me to go to do something on Saturday. I remember I had to work anyway, but it was something for Danny. But I didn't want to show up anyway because, like I said, you hear those rumors and then you see a bunch of people that sit there and think that you didn't, you know, and I just couldn't handle it. That's why I wanted to talk to you. I wanted you to at least know, you know, where I was coming from, you know, because you, if I'd ever said anything, it would all have been just guessing. So, you know, and like I said, I tried to stay out of everything for so long and it was just, eventually I was like, I knew I was going to have to come out and tell somebody. And I seen that that was your podcast. And I was like, well, I'm telling him then.
Yeah. It's only right, especially saying with some of the things that have been said, that you get to give your side as well. And I think it's admirable that you've done that. And I've appreciated talking to you.
No problem.
If you think of anything else, or if anything comes up in the coming weeks, feel free to reach out. You have my number now, and I'll do my best to get back to you. I just wanted to give you like just a open platform quickly. No pressure at all to say anything, but if there is anything else you just want to say, just on more like a general level about Danny or this case or whatever.
I knew that I was going to get dinged for it because everybody, they used to come down to the house all the time. So it was like, they just knew it. And with my uncle being a police officer, that really hurt us a lot more than it helped like people think. Cause then that's when they started thinking that we were, you know, oh, well, he's helping them and they did this and stuff. But all those rumors were by drug addicts and felons trying to get out of trouble because they didn't want to be dope sick. And I hate to say it like that, but it's true. We never had anything to do with it. We were the first people to even volunteer for the... They didn't even force us to do a lie detector test. We volunteered as soon as they asked, you know? So, yeah, all that is just... It's bunk. And I hope, I pray that it comes out so then they find whatever happened.
Thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Culpable. Make sure you tune in next Monday, October 13th, for Episode 8, the conclusion of the series. And if you're not already, be sure to subscribe to the channel so that you can be the first to know when future episodes release as we receive more updates and continue our investigation into the case of Danny Violet. Until next time.
Do you know that feeling when you're at happy hour with your friends and you listen to them monologue about their current fixation or their work drama, and you just think to yourself, God, I love my friends. I could listen to this forever. Well, I do. And that is why 10 years ago, I started a podcast with my best friend, Julia Schifini, who loves to yap about Greek myths, creepypasta, and death. That is, in fact, what you can find every week on our podcast, Spirits, where we pour a drink every single week and learn about a new story from around the world. That includes urban legends, ancient myths, modern folklore, all through a queer feminist lens of two people who are figuring out life and love each other along the way. So if you want spooky stories from our listeners' hometowns, haunted old spaghetti factory, anyone, or deep dives with brilliant scholars about everything from disability and folklore to ancient Sumerian religion to the myths of AI supremacy, you will get it on Spirits. Subscribe now or go to spiritspodcast.com for more.